97.9 FM, WCHL, and chapelboro.com present The Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show dedicated to getting your community educated, hired, and inspired. The Art of Potential combines real-world knowledge and expertise aimed at helping our community reach their full potential. Now, The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hi, this is Kristen Heemstra. Welcome to the Art of Potential show. Oh my, do we have a fascinating show in store for you today, because what are we going to be talking about? The art of managing family, especially during the holidays. And we are so lucky to have with us the world-renowned Jean McClendon of Satir Systems. Welcome, Jean.
Thank you. It's nice to be back with you.
Yes. Well, you were so good the first time, we just couldn't wait to get you back on the show. Jean is an educator and author, and she is a family systems therapist. You hail from the work of Virginia Satir. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Jean?
I can. Virginia was my mentor for about 20 years, and she was known as the pioneer and sometimes referred to as the Columbus of family therapy. Later on in her life, her work branched out from families into working with organizations and large systems. Mainly, she was a human potential theorist and practitioner who believed in the power of positive change and believed that if we could come to create the kind of peace and harmony that we all long for in our families, mm-hmm. that we could also do that in the world. So, in a sense, she believed if we could heal our families, we could heal the world.
And I can see that just in the work I do, working with as many families as I do, because we do take those relationships with family out into the world and in some ways move to recreate them on some level.
Absolutely.
So let's just get to the heart of the matter. Why are families so complicated, Jean? Tell us.
Well, some people would disagree with that assumption that we're that complicated. And they would say, you know, it really is very basic and simple, and that is that the issue is that we all want to feel valued. We all want to be loved. We all want to feel like we belong and that we're safe. And it's just that simple.
So then why over the holidays does your Aunt Susie's funky answers to everything drive you up a wall? If all we need to do is make her feel belong, like she belongs, like she's loved?
Well, first off, we can't make her feel that way.
Okay, so now we have a problem. Okay.
Now we're through to things. We can't make people feel different than what they feel that we're each responsible for our internal process, and that is the feelings we generate inside of ourselves. So why can she not feel loved? Why can she not feel valued in that context, a context in which others value her, care about her, and want to express that? So why is she not able to receive that and make use of it in a way to feel safer inside, to feel more relaxed, and therefore to feel more giving.
And more at peace.
And more at peace.
Yeah.
I don't know why she can't, but I do know that it's quite possible that she took the brunt of her father's alcoholic rage, or that she was the one, when her parents separated, had to go live, you know, away from the rest of the siblings. I don't know what happened, but mm-hmm. I suspect that she had a depth of wounding to which she has buried and put calluses around, and uses her arrogance and her grumpiness or irritability or whatever as a defense to not have to be aware of the deeper pain she has. And she may be depressed.
Mm-hmm.
She may have a clinical depression that keeps her irritability up high, and so she's very reactive, or she may have an anxiety disorder, or she may be alcoholic herself. There are many reasons, possible reasons, why she's hard to reach at the heart level.
So it sounds to me like if she has these things going on that she's not in touch with, no matter how much outpouring of love and acceptance and belonging is showered upon her, her inability to receive it is going to mean that, I don't want to say the effort's wasted, but it's not effective.
Well, it doesn't get... What, it doesn't get the results you hope for. But I guess I also am curious about whether, indeed, if she has been this way, you know, during the holiday seasons for years, what level of authenticity is there in these efforts to reach towards her or to be present with her?
So what I hear you kind of saying, I don't want to put words in your mouth, is that after we all try a certain amount of times, we kind of give up and just move to a surface, kind of more platitudinal discourse, if you will.
Yeah, to protect our own feelings.
Right. Because we
And who to be authentically present with somebody who is feeling that miserable in the holiday is quite an act of generosity, but might also be just more than what most of us can give. There's so much hustle, bustle, busyness, and at a certain level, superficiality, because we come with the TV expectations of either it's going to be awful or it's going to meet our deepest longings and we will feel connected and valued and loved.
Do you find that your practice picks up during the holiday season? Is this a time when you see more people trying to march through some of this type of thing? Or is it the aftermath that you find to be a busier time?
I'm finding that people are too busy to do much therapy in the midst of the holidays.
Yeah.
But there are people who are trying to, if you will, to get their own act together so that they can be less reactive when they are in the midst of their family. And they're dealing with on the front end, you know, whose family are we going to, and do we have to, and the arguing about that. And, of course, what I find is in these more difficult relationships that people marry into, that the primary spousal relationship, and I do a lot of marital counseling, that gets threatened and gets frayed in the midst of the old family of origin patterns back in their spouse's family, when they visit that family.
Very interesting. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, let's talk more about how to manage ourselves during the holidays. You are listening to The Art of Potential Show. This is Kristen Heemstra, and my guest is Jean McClendon.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with Jean McClendon of Satir Systems. We are so fortunate to have Satir Systems here in Chapel Hill. So, Jean, all families, it sounds like all members have different experiences growing up. They have different cultures. So, right before we came back, you were saying families, you consider them to be cross-cultural experiences?
I do, and all marriages for sure are.
So tell us about that. What is a cross-cultural marriage, which you say we're all who are married involved in that? What is that?
Well, let's just put it this way. You could be married to somebody who grows up in the same country, mm-hmm. speaks the same language, might even come from the same small town, might come from the same religious background, might have similar socioeconomic classification. But each family, because everybody is unique and everybody in the family contributes their little unique piece, so all families are idiosyncratic and have a kind of indigenousness about them. It's like they are a certain way. They cook their grits a certain way.
Right. It's almost tribal.
They greet people in a certain way or mm-hmm. not. In some families, you wouldn't dare go to bed without saying goodnight and alerting people that you are headed to bed. Other families, when you get sleepy and you're tired and you're ready to go to bed, you just go to bed.
Mm-hmm. They'll figure it out.
Right. But if you don't know that and you come in as an in-law and you don't say goodnight, it can be felt by that family as not very warm, not very caring.
Yep.
Is this the kind of a non-Southern thing or what? Who knows? All I'm saying is that each family has very subtle and perhaps sometimes not so subtle ways of being and operating in terms of how they interact with each other and what they talk about, what they don't talk about, how much they talk.
But how much they watch TV.
How much they watch TV, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever read the book Rainy by Clyde Edgerton, but that is one of my favorite books, and he gets into this somewhat. A Southern Baptist family marries into a Northeastern Episcopalian family, and it's just, let's just say, it's a whole basis of the whole book. So, yes, it is complicated,
right.
It is funny,
right.
If you can step back.
And, of course, on top of that, it's not purely a myth that people select as their partners opposites. on some significant domains, you add that to it, and you've got the potential for a fair amount of chaos.
So let's talk about that. How do we manage our times? Because you referred in the last segment to a woman who has an awareness that maybe drinking excessively during the holidays is not in her own best interest or in the best interest of those around her. Good strategy. What are some other things that we can do to help manage that? Because it can get chaotic very quickly,
right.
And we're raw in a sense. And
well, let's do talk about some of those possibilities. Mm-hmm. One is stay in good contact with your spouse and stay in good contact with your own children.
So what is good contact?
It will mean different things for different couples, but being able to express your affection,
a
hand on the shoulder, or holding hands on the sofa, or taking a walk so you have a little time, just the two of you. Something that you can do sustains and creates and gives expression to the boundary of that relationship.
Okay, so you say boundary of that relationship.
That's right, that it is a It is a separate entity.
Okay.
And therefore requires being nurtured and attended to.
Okay.
Because if again, you lose that sense of primariness in the spousal relationship among these extended family, your biggest support is not there.
That makes complete sense to me. That really does.
And the same is true for the children. They don't need you hovering over them or policing them. Ideally, they need to know that you are enjoying their enjoyment of the holiday.
So your reinforcement, so that's a different way to look at it. They don't need to see you enjoying the holidays. They need to see you enjoying them enjoy the holidays.
Both.
Both. Okay. Both. So are they looking at you for cues on how to handle crazy Aunt Susie?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
How do you explain that to them?
Well, it depends on, of course, their age and what they ask. But if, let's say, if a five-year-old comes to you crying that, you know, what are we calling her?
Aunt Susie.
Aunt Susie just said something that hurt the five-year-old's feelings. So you take the five-year-old aside and listen to the five-year-old's feelings, and you might say, you know, sometimes Aunt Susie says things and she doesn't really understand how hurtful it can be. And it's really not about you. It's how hard it is for Aunt Susie to be happy at times.
Interesting. So you make it not about the person who's on the receiving end.
That's right. If you know that kid is dealing with someone who repeatedly steps on people's toes.
Mm-hmm. What about as an adult when you're on the receiving end of Aunt Susie's tirade?
Well, if it's a tirade, you want to avoid it because you're not going to. If she's in a tirade, there's a lack of rationality in that moment. So you can't reason. You can't resolve something at that level. So as graciously as you can exit, do so.
Avoid the situation, get out, basically.
Yeah. And hopefully in 5 minutes she's chilled and you realize that, you know, your toe might be a little bruised. But, you know, if you will, in the deepest sense of this, you know, you're the fortunate one.
Okay.
You might have a hurt toe, but she's got a big wound inside of her that keeps her locked into some patterns where she cannot feel or sustain a sense of connection.
So you move to a place of sympathy or empathy.
Compassion.
Compassion.
Because you know that there's something not quite right with Aunt Susie.
And so it becomes, it sounds like her explosion or tirade or comments or whatever become more about seeing yourself as not necessarily connected to them, but more seeing this is how a wounded person is lashing out right now. So there's a separation there.
That's right.
Okay.
Now, if you happen to be someone, for whatever reason, that Aunt Susie can connect with, either in some with humor or whatever, and it may be that Aunt Susie can pet a dog, but, you know, she can't deal with humans very well. You know, let the dog be the intermediary.
So let's take a break, and then we'll talk more about that when we get back. You are listening to The Art of Potential Show. This is Kristen Heemstra having an absolutely fascinating conversation with Jean McClendon. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with the amazing Jean McClendon. She is over at Satir Systems in Chapel Hill. Fabulous, fabulous practice. So, Jean, we were just talking about how to deal with crazy Aunt Susie. It's a sense, it's protection, would you say, when somebody's coming at you during the holidays? Would you say protection's one of the things that you move to doing?
I think that's important. And what I would say about that is that we need to be aware that the way in which I might be inclined to protect myself can feel like it's a defense for me, but it can feel like, an offense to the other person.
Depending on how you're protecting.
That's right. So if I am making myself feel protected and better by putting myself above and putting somebody else down, that's not the kind of protection that we're talking about.
No, and I can see where there'd also be an inclination to shut down or to shut out. If you feel like something toxic is coming towards you, my instinct, I would think, would be to block it on some level.
Yes, and that's okay. What I would say is a better approach is to move towards sources of support and connection.
Okay, so the primary marriage or the relationship with the children would be a support.
It could be, another sibling. It can be another aunt or uncle. It can be nature. It could be the dog. It could be the kitty cat.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the beautiful houseplants, whatever.
Right.
I have a belief that I think is really true, and it's that everything is easier with support.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've got a challenging relative to deal with, you need support. So knowing how you get that support, going into a different room in the house from where the difficult person is, listening to music, watching a football game. Anything that, and being able to take some nice deep breaths, and two, being able to go to that function, not already, frazzled.
And that's really important, too, I think, because people do dread, rather than, glow with anticipation, but they dread sometimes coming to these holiday gatherings.
Well, sometimes it's long drives.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there are kids who don't want to go because they are leaving their peers. And sometimes it hasn't always been so much fun.
Right.
And, there can be back-to-back traffic, and airports aren't much better. So there's a level of stress. And, are they going to like the presents? Are we're not spending the same kind of money we used to on presents? Or we've decided we're not going to do presents? And how is that going to go over? So being able to go in as rested as you can will help. And the other thing is, don't stay too long. I know what happens with family members spread out all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Parents often feel like, well, I don't get to see you that often, so, y'all should come and over the holidays spend the week. Well, a week is a long time.
It is.
For the best of families.
Yes.
For the best of friends.
Yes.
So if you can make more frequent visits that are shorter and you leave wanting more rather than leaving thinking, my God, if I don't get out of here within the next 30 minutes, I'm going to blow a gasket.
And that I've heard time and time again. I even had one friend who helped her visitors pack their bags and load them in the car. So ready for them to go. And they had been there a week. I think, was it, somebody said, like, what is it, Fish and Company are not good after 3 days or something.
Right. And that may be a pretty good rule of thumb, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are exceptions to that. But what you want to do is to create a pattern and a pool of positive experiences. You want to program for success. So making it shorter, if that sounds like that would make it more successful for everybody in your family, then that's what you want to do. No matter that mom and dad feel like, my gosh, you know, you just got here. Well, you know, on the one hand, that's good. They want you to stay longer.
Mm-hmm.
That's so much better than thinking, you know, that's a long week.
No, absolutely. And after a week, your resources get depleted.
Yes.
And so while you might be able to deal with the snarky comments or the different ways of doing things for a few days, handling it for a week, you're just going to get worn down, you know, if that's the direction.
And the other thing I would say is that there are people who hope that these holiday gatherings will be a time of resolution and repair.
That's pressure.
That is a lot of pressure. And I don't think that that's smart. I actually believe that avoiding controversial subjects, politics, religion, whether it's the Affordable Act,
mm-hmm.
Health Care Act, or gay rights, or if you know that you are among a group of people who are on a continuum from conservatism to liberalism,
mm-hmm.
and who have different political parties, some who are highly religious and others who are atheist or we're not talking about it.
Right.
Those can be enlivening discussions between people who want to carry on those kinds of conversations because they want to understand or they want to get to know people better. But usually, they become discussions, or if you will, conversations with someone trying to assure the others that they are right and the others are wrong, or that, you know, one's the good side and one's the bad side. So when you set yourself up to polarize people, there will be hurt feelings and there will be disconnects that will create distance. So, you know, we come together out of our commonalities, i.e. blood and marriages and our longings and our hopes. We do grow from our differences, but growth is not necessarily easy, growing through those differences and accepting those differences.
Oh, it does. It takes it takes a long time, sometimes a lifetime, to accept some of those types of things.
Yeah.
And I wonder, and I'm just going to bring this up because I was reading an article on the other day, Dick Cheney's daughters, one of them is in a lesbian marriage and the other one is running for Congress in Wyoming and is opposed to gay marriage. And I wonder how their family dynamic is. Because they've always been very supportive of both daughters. And
right.
And it would be very, you know, to be a fly on the wall to try to, you know, be in that space, I think would be interesting because there's a lot of hurt there. And I'm not sure their family's a whole lot different than a lot of other families in the United
States. You know, I'm sure that's true, that there has has been a lot of hurt there. And I really so much appreciated. I saw Dick Cheney on TV a few weeks ago when he somebody asked him about this, and he said, well, you know, basically, we're not going to talk about what goes on inside of our family for the public.
Yeah.
And because it's got to be very, very difficult for these two sisters and for the parents to see the difference and the pain that and distance that's created between the sisters because of this distance.
Well, let's talk about that in our last segment. We're going to take a break. You are listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra. I'm talking to the wonderful Jean McLennan. Please take a moment to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back to the Art of Potential show. This is Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with the wonderful Jean McLennan of Satir Systems here in Chapel Hill. So, Jean, we just ended our last segment talking about how the holidays are a time of celebration and joy. How do we move into that space?
Well, I'm going to say the first thing we have to do is to give ourselves permission to enjoy our lives.
And that you make that sound like that is a very conscious decision.
It is a conscious, for children, it doesn't seem to be.
Yeah.
They are oriented that way. But as somebody, I think it was Hans Selye, he wrote about stress, a Canadian physician, years and years ago. He said, there's a problem with becoming adults, and it seems like we get a bit grim. And so, yes, there with the pressures that so many adults have, and particularly during times when the economic situation is so stressful for folks, we actually have to sort of bracket off, this is a time to celebrate. This is a time for fun. It's like a vacation.
Okay, so there's intention put around it.
There is intention put around that we're going to have a good and safe time.
So, okay, so let's...
And that's different than I'm going to obsess about how dreadful it's going to be if Aunt Susie shows up. It's even if Aunt Susie shows up, I'm going to enjoy the connections I have. I'm going to enjoy the abundance of food and the sensuality of food and seeing relatives I haven't seen in a long time or meeting new people.
So you highlight what you want to enjoy.
Right. Yes.
And it sounds like you get fairly specific about it. It's not just a wide open kind of a thing. You look for things to be joyful about.
Yes. If we could be as intentional and as practiced at, if you will, meditating a bit on the positives in our lives and those that we want to move towards in relationship to our families and holidays, I think it would make a difference. And the other thing I would say is we have to be careful that we can say things like, oh my gosh, mother's going to complain about this, Aunt Susie's going to complain about this, they're all so negative, blah, 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 blah. Well, what we have to be careful of is that it's a familiar saying, but we have to be the change we want to see.
Mm-hmm.
So can I bring my positrons? Can I bring my positrons?
It's like a jumbotron of positivity.
Yeah. Can I, will I bring my positrons to the occasion. Because for sure I have negatrons too.
Mm-hmm.
And I can put mine with yours, and then we can put ours with Joe's, and we can all just have a dreadful time.
So you make it sound as though it's a choice. You can choose to have a dreadful time or a wonderful time.
At a certain level, I believe that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's true. And it's not, again, as we started out, it's easier to talk about and to understand the ideas, but to put them into practice can be challenging. But if, in fact, you do it and you're successful with it and you have a good time, it's been worth the effort.
Oh, it would completely be worth the effort. And I think, just to kind of recap, you're walking in with an intention for a good time.
Yes.
You're bringing the energy you're bringing into the gathering is one of kind of open acceptance, but also one where you plan on maintaining your own emotional equilibrium.
Yeah.
You are aware that Aunt Susie or Uncle John or whoever can rub yourself and maybe everybody the wrong way. So you're prepared for that. You're prepared, I guess, to avoid, but also to engage, you know, kind of playing that out as necessary. But your Jumbotron is always flashing forward the messages about joy and happiness and abundance and being present with the people you're with. So, yes. Is that right?
Yes, and I think that that is an art-filled practice.
Yes.
It's not, you know, certainly there's science to back up the importance of the power of the brain and our ability to transform perceptions, et cetera. But there's an art to celebration.
I love how you say that, an art to celebration. And it seems to me then that your brain, you're constantly asking your Jumbotron, go find something for me to celebrate. Go find something for me to have gratitude about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're changing the internal dialogue.
Right. And it's a time of giving. So I want to give my positron. I want to give my appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
I want to express my gratitude.
So then to your last comment, you're the change you want to see. You're positive, complimentary, just a good vibe in the room.
Absolutely. Express my affection, my gratitude, my appreciation. If I do that, and I do that consciously, I will pretty much guarantee you that you are going to have a good experience.
I would think so. And I guess
it will be if you have a way to find out if anybody's listening and they decide, well, all right, I'm going to try that.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great to hear how it goes for them.
Absolutely. Let us know on the Art of Potential website. You can email us at kristen@artofpotential.com. You can always call into the station. Jean, why don't you tell us if people want to reach out to you and hear more about your work, where would they find you?
Probably the best way is through email, and that's the letter J, McLendon, McLendon, at Satir Systems, one word, SatirSystems.com.
Wonderful. And I will put a link for Jean's email on my website, the Art of Potential website. Thank you for listening and have a very happy holiday.